Hello and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we discuss some topical leadership issues. This week we're focusing on events up to the 26th of October 2018. My name's Nick Scott, and I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute of Leadership and Management, and I'm joined today by Kate Cooper, the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
Ahead of National Mentoring Day at the end of this month, Forbes reports networking strategist Erica Dewan as having some reservations about the mentoring relationship. When I was shifting roles from a banker to a speaker and author, they couldn't help. They couldn't see me and who I was becoming. Forbes concludes, don't focus on mentors. Instead, listen to yourself and think about how you can surround yourself on a regular basis with the type of people you want to be like. Kate, do you think this is a reasonable generalisation of mentoring?
We're really pleased to read this because in some research we conducted 2 or 3 years ago, we identified that the mentoring relationship has changed. Whereas traditionally it was seen as somebody older and wiser with experience of an industry, sector or organisation, almost transferring that knowledge to a new, eager to learn colleague. We now see that there are benefits, or there should be benefits to both, otherwise it's not really a mentoring relationship. One thing that was quickly identified with millennials was their digital capability, being able to share that with older members of staff in exchange for this wisdom. But I think it's much more than that. Mentoring somebody should be a two-way relationship. You're both listening, you're both learning. So Erica is probably right here because her model of mentoring is really an old-fashioned one.
Well, consultant Ross Wilson was reported in Directors magazine as adopting a much more positive position, highlighting the opportunities mentors could take to bounce ideas around and engage in role play, effectively challenging mentees to think as opposed to providing them with solutions. Is this closer to what mentoring best practice should look like?
I'd say it is. Just as we often debate what is leadership and what is management and never arrive at a conclusion, similar questions are asked about where coaching and mentoring blur. And what Ross is talking about here is essentially using coaching approaches in that mentoring relationship. So making it more fun, making it more interactive, and much more about what the two people can learn together from engaging with each other. We would always encourage you to look for mentors, but also think about sponsors. People will give you an opportunity to have a go at high profile projects and provide that background essential support to help you succeed.
Our second news item this week comes from the BBC News website, which asks the question, do we need a code of conduct for physical contact at work? And, specifically, is it okay for colleagues to hug each other? Management blogger Alison Green asserts that hugging, previously reserved for family and friends, is increasingly infiltrating professional contexts, creating an uncomfortable environment for some and an awkwardness around the degree of acceptance, with non-huggers facing the potential stigma of being seen as cold and unfriendly. So, Kate, what's the advice on hugging?
We would recommend that you always start by thinking about the other person first. Self-awareness is not only about understanding yourself, your own motivations and drives, but it's also understanding the impact you have on others. And always err on the side of caution. There is no code about this, so therefore in some cultures it might be acceptable, in some organisations it might be acceptable, in others it would absolutely not be acceptable. So pick up the cues, don't assume because you like hugging somebody else does.
Is there not some crossover here between public displays of affection and personal space issues generally? Pixar chief creative John Lasseter took a sabbatical and ultimately lost his job at Disney for overstepping boundaries. We spoke last week about how many close personal relationships develop from an initial work-based environment. Can and should some rule-based system replace individual decision-making and autonomy?
I think we agreed last week that that would be very difficult, not only to implement, but certainly to monitor and effectively police. So it has to be at the discretion of the individual. And I would have thought, with hashtag Me Too just being over a year old, anyone in a position of power over another individual in an organisation should essentially not hug. And if that means that you're seen as cold and unfriendly, well, you can certainly challenge that by the way you talk to, the way you relate to somebody, and it doesn't have to involve physical contact.
Our third news item this week again picks up on Amazon. Despite Amazon's e-commerce success being significantly based upon automation, including the use of artificial intelligence, AI, Reuters recently reported Amazon scrapping an automated HR recruitment project as it consistently failed to deliver gender-neutral outcomes. Identifying future talent using the characteristics of successful recruits from the past resulted in a significant bias against shortlisting women. Can we trust AI to avoid reinforcing stereotypical behaviour?
Well, obviously not, and it surprises me that anybody thought they would get anything other than biased outcomes from inputting essentially biased data. The gender pay gap information tells us that there is bias in organisations when it comes to recruitment and promotion. So, of course, if you look at successful applicants going back historically, they will be biased within them, and then you'll get that back. So this doesn't seem a very intelligent use of artificial intelligence.
Well, by contrast, a 2017 PwC report was upbeat about AI, claiming that 40% of multinationals are using it in HR in some form, with technology viewed as an enabling tool as opposed to a decision maker. That report concludes that many HR professionals do feel that AI can never replace human empathy and intuition. So is it possible to get the balance right between reducing the mundane data handling burden without losing sight of these essential higher order sensitivities?
We have to be clear about what we're expecting AI to do and be very mindful of historical data with its inherent bias. I was in Iceland last year at a conference looking at the future of learning in organisations, and I was particularly interested to ask how far away we are from the emotionally intelligent and empathetic robot, and they told me quite a few years.
And finally this week, Financial Times contributing editor Michael Skopinka railed against business consultants' overuse of the term VUCA, an acronym for volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous, increasingly used to describe the new normal of the current business environment. Skopinka asserts that much of business knowledge and skill doesn't really change that much. Know your customers, your products, your staff, and your competitors. And while the speed of change may have accelerated, change itself is not new. Does Michael have a point?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to hear him saying this, because for some time I think it's been overused as an excuse for why we can't plan, or an excuse for why we don't perform as well as we could be. If we go back to the work of Burns and Stalker in the 50s and early 60s, they recognised that different organisation structures were more suitable for different sorts of environment. And for the more stable environment, they can have formal bureaucratic structures. And those environments that are more dynamic would need a less stable and a more organic structure. So what Skopinka is essentially saying is not all environments are dynamic.
Well, thanks very much for that, Kate. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for this week. Please go to the website www.instituteLM.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management. And please subscribe to this podcast series.